homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Northwest Film Center's Real Music Festival from January 18th through February 16th at the Witzel Auditorium in Portland. Films showing this year include Mr. Soul, The Ballad of Shirley Collins, Solo, The Evolution of the One-Man Band, Gospel According to Al Green, and many more. Again, that's the Northwest Film Center's Real Music Festival from January 18th through February 16th at the Witzel Auditorium, 1219 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. It is time for Labor Radio.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. This is Jamie Partridge, your host. Tonight we're talking with ATI Steelworkers, organizing a union for unity and strength. Our guests are Nick Gaitau. Hey, Nick. Say hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Justin Harry. Justin?
Hey.
Hey. And Dan Hoskins.
Hi.
So this is Labor Radio of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. And tonight we're talking about the ATI mail fabrication plant in Albany, which is about to go union, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and perhaps the ATI, an ATI plant in Salem. We'll talk about that later. But ATI's got three plants in Albany, and this one is called Cast Products and describes itself this way on the website. Creating long-term value through relentless innovation, ATI is a global manufacturer of technically advanced specialty materials and complex components. Our products support diverse markets and industries such as aerospace and defense, oil and gas, electrical energy, medical, automotive, and other industrial markets. ATI is a company of innovators producing next-generation products. Nothing on this website describes working conditions or benefits. It seems all oriented to the investor and business class. What's your take on this description? You want to start us off?
That's funny you should ask. So Eric Martin, the president of ATI Cast Products, is actually having a luncheon later this week. And in the description to that, there's a picture of himself, and it says, "I am ATI."
Oh, yeah.
And I think many of us disagree. You know, at my plant, I work at Ormet. Most of our employees have got 20, 30, 40 years in. And our managers come and go. So, I don't know. Do you know, Justin, it's Eric's. How many bosses have you had in the few years you've worked there?
Three, I think.
Yeah. Bosses come and go.
They come and go.
So, we understand this is the seventh time that the workers at this plant in Albany have attempted to organize a union? Is that right? What's the history there?
So, and I'm not sure if it's six or seven. I kind of lost count because we've gone through this so many times. So yeah, the first time that we tried to organize under the Aerospace and Machinists. That didn't go so well, but Aerospace and Machinists was kind of a different union. They were far off from us, their locality. So really kind of working together with them was difficult. And then we started working with the steel workers after that. That was always really nice working with them because both of the other ATI facilities in our city are steel workers. And so in running union drives with them, we've had all the drama and all of the stuff that comes with a union drive. They've been tough. They've been knock down, drag out union drives. We've even had one where we actually lost by 11 votes. After winning card check, and then some people had pulled their cards, which, you know, that's one of the lies that they will tell you is that if you sign a card, you can't take that back. But the truth is, we had, I think, over the time of that particular drive. We had three people pull their cards, and then some more people signed cards, then some people pulled their cards. It was crazy. So we finally went to a vote, lost by 11 votes.
Wow. And this is out of how many people at the plant?
At that particular time, when we lost by 11 votes, you were a lot smaller. Was there like 200? Yeah, about 200 people. And so it was smaller than now. Mm-hmm. And of course, some people took it very personal. They looked at it like the people that would like to be represented by a labor union were people who did not like their company or somehow were not loyal to their company, which is actually the opposite is true.
And about how many workers are there now?
I think we do have somewhere around 500, 550, somewhere in there. So. Mm-hmm.
So what are the other dramas in the attempts to organize a union at this plant? And so over how many years have there been attempts?
Oh, wow.
I think it's about 12 years.
Yeah.
The last drama was actually they locked out my facility in Albany.
A different plant.
Different plant, ATI Ormet. I guess they call it ATI 34th Street. Mm-hmm. Long ago it was Ormet. All of us employees that have worked there any length of time. Mm-hmm. Still feel that it's Ormet. Mm-hmm. ATI just bought us. Mm-hmm. But in 2015 was the last attempt at Pacific Gas, and they locked out 2,200 steelworkers across the nation, which essentially killed the union drive.
So it scared the bejesus out of the other people that were trying to unionize.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that union drive was interesting. We had started a union drive. They were locked out. Their facility during our union drive, which kind of took the wind out of our sails. But during our union drive, some interesting things happened at our plant, including things that were said by the anti-union team that was sent by ATI that showed that they were not going to deal with 34th Street in good faith and bargain in good faith. They made outright statements that they were going to absolutely take certain conditions, and they'd predetermined that before they had ever even began bargaining with them and talking to them. And so we were able to help 34th Street, which is Ormet, we were able to help that lockout. I don't know how much I want to say about that, but it really kind of helped shut down that lockout. So we were able to help each other that way back then.
So despite this devastating lockout, as I remember, I was down there on the picket line a few times. You were able to move some legislative support for the workers that were being locked out.
So we were. Our president, Josh Hall, worked really hard at getting some support within the state. It was a bipartisan agreement. Republicans, Democrats came together, and they actually passed a new law here in the state of Oregon that if you are locked out illegally, you get unemployment guaranteed for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of that was, as many companies will lock employees out, expecting unemployment to run out. Once unemployment runs out, you know, people start getting a little bit antsy to get back to work, to make sure their bills are paid. And so now in the state of Oregon, all labor organizations get to benefit from that right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
And so part of that is, you know, when we're having this organizing drive, talking about that lockout, you know, in the very beginning, it was a little, you know, we got a lot of employees coming in saying, I don't know if I want a union. You guys were just locked out.
Right.
But explaining what the steelworkers have done and the steelworkers strike and defense fund, explaining that all of our bills were paid, that we fought for unemployment rights, and those are things that we have moving forward. In reality, in the last 2 months, we've been doing this organizing drive. Strike and lockouts are very little conversation that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal.
So what are workers agitated about? Why is this happening now? Justin, you want to take that?
I think one of the major issues that workers are agitated about is health care. There was a recent change to our health care that didn't benefit the workers. And I think a lot of people are irritated with that because that's not the first time that our health care has been affected. And ATI has continually taken pieces from us of, you know, any kind of benefit that we had. Small things like Thanksgiving gift cards during Thanksgiving they used to give out. We used to have a program where you were rewarded for continuous improvement ideas, and those things have kind of just disappeared without saying anything. And over time, they've taken so much, people feel like, you know, it's not the place it used to be. And I've only been there for a few years, and just in the 3 years that I've worked there, things have changed enough that I can see there's a trend. It's not going in a positive way.
So when did ATI buy this plant?
I believe ATI bought this plant 4 or 5 years ago, just before I started there.
And so ATI has only been in the picture for how many years in Albany?
Oh, they've been in the picture for quite a while. Okay. So they bought Ormet and Watchang, and they have ran our facilities for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell you exactly
and
when.
So they just recently picked up the cast products and this plant in Salem. When did they get that?
They also, around the same time, they bought Hannard Machine in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those were just strategic moves, so they had another facility locally.
Sounds like they're making big bucks, and they can expand, take over the big fish, taking over the little fish, making money for their investors, and degrading, sounds like, working conditions benefits. There are other situations that are getting worse in the plant. You talked about healthcare. You talked about.
There was. They made some changes to vision and dental shortly after I started there, where they stopped. Putting their part into the vision and dental coverage, and it was totally employee covered, and it was something you could opt in or opt out of, and rather than covering any of that for us.
Healthcare is a big thing. So mm-hmm. So with the three plants in Albany, when we had the lockout at Ormet, the company said they are going to have the same healthcare plan that you have. They will have this. We promise you. Mm-hmm. We guarantee this.
Mm-hmm.
And then we survived the lockout. 7 months later, went back to work, and our healthcare stayed the same. Our benefits stayed the same. Everything stayed the same. Watchang just came out of a 18-month-long negotiations as well. That their contract, they were without a contract for about 18 months. And they said right off the bat, you will have this healthcare plan. They told the employees at Cass Products, they will have what you have. Except at the end of that negotiations, Watchang went into the Steelworkers Health and Welfare Plan, and they have their own plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Watchang, the local at Watchang actually offered to put all of the employees, management included, into the Steelworker Plan.
Mm-hmm.
It was a cost savings to ATI to actually get into this plan, and it's much better health care.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kicked it off, and they gave it to all 500 people at Cass Products, where they're having a hard time. I heard from members where they're going without insurance. They're opting to go into their VA benefits rather than have the health care, because they can't afford the health care, one, and then the prescription benefit is awful. So I was talking to a guy this week who said his prescription benefits were so awful that he had to have hip replacement, and he couldn't get Vicodins because he couldn't pay out of pocket the amount that they wanted. And so then I talk about my facility, where I have one prescription that costs me about $2,000, just over, every 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
My copayment is $7.
$7.
$7. And I've had the same healthcare plan since 2005 when I started. And it's basically the same as it is now. And they're still making money. I mean,
and there's a huge difference between the healthcare plan at your plant and the healthcare plan at this non-union plant.
Absolutely.
And what about wages? Are they the same, or? Is it?
No, the wages aren't the same. They make quite a bit more than we do. And we actually have comparative wage scales. So we'll have a job class 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Mm-hmm. And their job classes and our job classes pay quite a bit different at both their plant and the Watchang facility. And it's important to note, too, as he was talking about the health care that they got, one of the situations that came up, and this was huge, is during the union drive that was shut down for us because of their lockout. ATI said to us, that one of their lawyers and human resources people said to us in meetings, she said, I guarantee, and that's a big word in these, that word, we'd want to talk about that too, but she said, I guarantee you watch, Ormet will end up with the same insurance you have, I guarantee it. And a union buster that was at that meeting leaned forward and said, yeah, everybody, you watch. And then another phrase that's used a lot during these drives, people began to say, yeah, wait and see. And I said, yes, you wait and see. And so they had their lockout. The lockout ended as an illegal lockout because they were predetermining the conditions of their bargaining that was going to happen. When it ended, they didn't have that same insurance. Mm-hmm. They had a much better insurance. And for us, we're kind of sitting there wondering, how come the people that said, wait and see, aren't saying, okay, we waited, we saw, and we now understand. What we've been told by the United Steelworkers is absolutely accurate, and what we were told by ATI is not.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that more people would have jumped on board right after that. So we are a little confused about that.
Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in, this is Labor Radio, Portland KBOO. We're talking with Nick Itow, Justin Harry, and Dan Hoskins of the United Steelworkers in Albany. So what about safety and health? What about discipline? Is it clear that there's differences between the union and the non-union facilities?
You know, a lot of the they're kind of a union with no bargaining rights there. So the management also takes turns going from facility to facility. So many of the managers that worked at Ormet moved to Wachang, and then they're at Cass Products.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I don't know, several that have worked at all the facilities, and many of the rules are the same. Many of the safety procedures, you know, observation cards, all of those things, but they're things that we get to bargain, and it's things they implement and change, and, you know, I mean, they have a wide variety of shops, so there's 16 different departments at Cass Products.
Yeah.
One of them is to the extreme that they have to raise their hand to go to the bathroom.
Ooh.
And so it is, it's a group of 150 women, and they're segregated from the rest of the plant, and it's very much like the 1930s. And so ATI has kind of done a lot of these things and changed the way that we all think of things. In my lockout, I think locking us out was the strongest thing that they could have done for my union. So prior to getting to the lockout, well, there was a lot of employees that had worked there 30, 35 years, never had any troubles, never had any disagreements, just moved forward. And they were locked out just like anybody else. And so I think once that happened, everyone took a step back and said, we really, the steelworkers mean something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you see this at Wachang, and you see these guys at Cass Products where they're actually seeing the same thing, and they're saying, ATI has changed this facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Pacific Cast anymore. It's Cast Products. And mm-hmm. we're going to stand up for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us learned something. You know, Justin also was has a story about the lockout.
You want to tell us your story, Justin?
Yeah. So when I was 19 years old, I was going to LBCC down in Albany for the welding program there. And I ended up with a 2-year degree from there. And part of that degree is you have to have 40 hours of cooperative work experience in a welding shop in order to get your certification and your degree. So I was approached by the head of the welding program, Dean Dallas, and he said that there was a shop nearby that needed some welders, and that I could it'd be a great opportunity for me to get my CWE hours. So I said, yeah, of course, I'd love to do that. And at the time, I didn't know what a union was, anything about a union. I didn't know what a lockout was. I wasn't aware there was even a lockout going on. And so I went to the facility and I did my interview, and they briefly mentioned a little bit about that there was a lockout happening, but I didn't really know what that was. And I needed my 40 hours. So I went ahead and accepted the job, and I worked there for 2 or 3 months. And I wasn't even employed by Ormet. I was employed by LBCC working at Ormet. And I wasn't making great wages. There's a maximum the school can pay for CWE, and that's $15.50, and that's what I was making. That's not great wages for a welder, especially at an aerospace casting plant. And so I worked there for my 2 or 3 months, and that got me enough experience, and it got me a reference to get a job at Cast Products, and I've been there ever since. And I've since then learned a lot about the unions, recently especially. And had I known what I know now about United Steelworkers, I would have never accepted the job and crossed their picket line.
Mm-hmm. Have you been getting given a bad time by other workers because of what happened during the lockout?
Yeah, so I think there's some misinformation going on about my experience there, and like Whether or not I was a union member when I crossed that picket line, which I wasn't and haven't ever been a union member, hopefully soon I will be, and a lot of questions about why my loyalties have changed or why my opinion of a union has changed. And my opinion of a union hasn't changed. I never had an opinion of a union. I've just developed my opinion of a union.
So tell us a little bit more about what the boss campaign has been. How's management reacted to your union drive? And how long has the drive been going on? About a month?
Or? We kicked it off Black Friday. We called it Black Friday Blitz.
November.
Yeah. Okay. 26th.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's been happening.
So we kicked it off November 26th. It started by one person from the plant approached me and said, "Hey, we want to get involved in the union. Can you have a meeting?" And, you know, as normal, we said, "Oh, sure, get a few people together." And we had the first group of guys that showed up, and they kicked off the drive, and many of them fell off. And as we started having these meetings, the first person that I offered several shirts and stickers and hats to people right off the bat, and there was one girl in this department, Wax, who took a pink steelworker shirt, and she said, "I will wear this to work." And I had offered it, I don't know, 15 or 20 different people. "Do you want to wear this to work?" And they said no. She wore it into the shop. She showed up at our first big meeting. We had 35, 45 people there. And she shows up, and she's got that pink shirt on. And she said, "I've wore it the last 2 days to work." And everyone in the room just kind of looked around like, wow. from that day, we created a logo. And it's not the steelworker logo. But it was something to show that the third party, the steel workers, the third party from Pittsburgh, isn't the third party from Pittsburgh, but it's actually the workers there. And so I've been doing leadership classes since Black Friday, since November, kind of just teaching everybody what a union is, how to file a motion. And they have basically created an e-board for their own unit. We call it the core group.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, we have 35 to 50% of people wearing union gear to work every day on all shifts.
What's management's response been to that?
It's interesting. We've had different responses throughout the years. And so, you know, they'll usually start to have anti-union meetings. They'll start to put, you know, post information. Yeah, I think that they realize that this drive's a little bit different than the ones we've had before. This one is very strong. I mean, people are, we've got banners in trucks outside of work lining the driveway. I mean, people are very strong. And I mean, it would be hard really right now to be a part of management and to fool yourself into believing that this union drive is not only strong, but the people are deeply attached to what's going on, that this is something that they care a lot about. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, for a lot of us, you know, ATI management, a lot of them have come from different places all over the country. They don't last long in our plant. But for us, growing up in our town, Ormet, Wachang, Pacific Cast, these are like a part of our community. The economy that's come from these places has been a part of our community for a long time. And they have been known to be the jobs that you want to have in our town. Our place, Pacific Cast, used to be more like that. Now we're looked as a lot less, and Wachang and Ormet are still looked at as a great place to work. Management, I think they know it's coming. I think they know this is going to happen, and you can sense in them that they're just, they know it's an idea whose time has come.
So,
I mean, you
so
can
they're
just...
They're not pulling people aside to into the office doing the one-on-ones, or they are?
Oh, they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely doing so. We filed at least a dozen, maybe two, unfair labor practices in the last couple weeks. They're pulling people aside. They have threatened to terminate people. They are, they had a guy this weekend that they actually said that they suggested he take off his union shirt before he went and talked to his boss.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going there. Steelworkers obviously are documenting this stuff.
Mm-hmm. But you told people ahead of time this was going to happen.
We've warned them. And so you know, when we put the banners in the truck, the first guy to put the banner in the truck, his dad actually worked with me. He now works at Wachang. He was part of the lockout as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he put the banner in front of his truck. He's 21 years old, hasn't worked there very long. And I said, you know that I'm going to post this on Facebook and they're going to know it's you. He said, I don't care. This is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people on the committee, in the very beginning, I said, these are things that legally they can't fire you for, but they may.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all, they're all in. I mean,
has
this,
anybody been fired or disciplined or working conditions changed?
Dan was once.
Yeah, I was once. And you've got to understand, a guy in my position, so I've been through all these union drives, and going through these union drives, we've gotten a lot of flack, those of us who, that have led union drives like myself. And then when they have failed, you've got to come to work the next day.
Right.
And I've gotten very used to coming in the next day still wearing my union gear and still saying, I don't care what you all think. This is, I'm a steel worker, you know, at the end of the day. And so for me, this is kind of so run of the mill. I'm used to it. But yeah, I did get called up and disciplined at one point for handing out information. Wasn't even actually union information. But I'm sure we'll talk about that soon. We are, what's different about this drive is other is we, in the past, when we were disciplined or things happened, we kind of just let it slide. We're not letting it slide anymore because it's just too valuable to us. It means too much to let things go that are actually documentable violations of our rights as employees. And so, yeah, we're not willing to put up with that.
So you're filing unfair labor practice charges and you're turning up the heat.
Yes, and you know we've created a new family. So I've got two, 300 brand new friends that I've spent a lot of time with, and it's a very diverse group. You know, just like Justin. Justin, a few years ago, crossed my picket line.
Yep.
I was out there stopping his car,
pretty
angry.
For 2 minutes every time I left the parking lot.
You know, and
I remember.
So when Justin came on board, he actually came up and said, hey, I crossed your picket line. And that was a little hard for me to take right off the bat. I'm like, wow,
sure.
Okay, well, you're here now. Let's move forward. And Justin has earned his keep. He is absolutely dedicated. And he has been, I think when he walks in the union hall, he feels like he's home.
I feel comfortable. I walk in, I grab a soda out of the fridge, I sit down, and I hang out with friends.
And it's what us union folks say all the time, is the union is for everybody. We are diverse. We don't see color, sexual preference. We don't see any of those things. We just want people part of the group. And if you're here with us now fighting with us, then you're part of our union family.
All right. Well, so we're running low on time, but tell us about the the drive in Salem, and how do these two drives intersect with each other?
So Salem, legally the company merged the two Salem operations with Cass Products, and we haven't had any people in Salem until the last few weeks, and so it made it where the perception was the company was going to merge the two groups together. And bring in another 100 votes that didn't know anything about the union. In the last 2 weeks, we've actually spent a considerable amount of time house calling in Salem. We had some meetings in Salem last Saturday that were very successful. And so we actually feel very comfortable with adding that unit into our group now. We've made several house calls. We made house calls all day yesterday. And they, too, have experienced the ATI change. So they were a mom and pop shop for many years, and now they are ATI, and they're looking for a piece of the pie. So they're making, they're bulk, mostly machinists, and they're making about $10 an hour less than any of the union machinists within the same company doing the same job.
Wow. So management tried to expand the bargaining unit to get some no votes, and it backfired on them.
That's the perception. They have not, they haven't stated their position officially yet. That will come, they have till Friday to decide if they include them or not. But we are obviously welcoming the Salem employees into our family as well. There's a great, great group of guys up there. And Dan and there was about eight of us that went up there to Salem and spent most of the day there hanging out with them last weekend, and we're going to do it again. We have a meeting Wednesday in Salem as well as next weekend.
So what kind of support do you have from the community, from residents, businesses in Albany, in Salem?
So the steelworkers are pretty strong in Albany. We do a lot of things for the community. For instance, next Wednesday, We are helping an older lady in Albany. She's 90 years old, and she needed a group of people to help her move. And so the steelworkers and this new group, the newest steelworkers, we're all going to go over there and help her move her apartment. And so we have a pretty good rapport. The guy that we buy pizza from, I went in there last week with my family, and he gave me a hug, and my wife wanted to know why the pizza man was hugging me. So we have a pretty good outreach in Albany, and by adding this Cast Products group in there, we're going to have that much stronger. It's going to another 500-600 members. It's going to be excellent, especially because this group is on fire and they want to participate.
So how can our listeners keep up to date on what's happening or support your struggle?
Okay, sorry. I just got a tickle in my throat that went crazy. Okay, so we have a Facebook page that is, you know, Nick, you better do this. My voice just went out.
It sounds cute. Yeah. So we do have a Facebook page. It's called USW...
Cast Product Employees. USW
Cast Products Employees. We update that page on a very regular basis. As well as if you want to give us a, you know, get on that page and send us some likes. And we will be having some actions, I'm sure, in the coming weeks leading up. And we will be posting those on there. And you can definitely support us that way.
All right. Thank you, brothers. That wraps it up for this week's Labor Radio. You've been listening to ATI steelworkers who are organizing a union at the ATI plant in Albany and Salem. So stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. Thank you.